Blog Talk Radio.
This is world champion D.E. Chambers, president of the Amateur Organization of Karate and multi-Greek Award winner. I would like to welcome you to Professor Gary Lee's Parts Unknown radio talk show featuring news, special announcements, special one-on-one interviews with stars of sport karate. Thank you for listening. Buckle up and enjoy the show.
This program is sponsored by the American Martial Arts Alliance Foundation and Elite Publications. Everyone has a story. You just have to get it out. Visit Elite Publications at www.elitepublications.org.
Aloha and much mahalo to the thousands of listeners who listen to us on Parts Unknown. Thank you for allowing us to come into your home on a Tuesday evening. Now, there's a reason why we're here. We've been on the air now going on 10 years talking sport karate. But it was a man's vision that saw the support, the Sport Karate Museum, that made it happen. And he's a unique man. He runs the Elite Publication Company. He runs the AMAA Radio Network. He speaks all around the world. He does the Who's Who books in karate. Anyway, I got him on the air. He's my producer, and I'd like to introduce him right now. Hunty Jesse Bourne. Hunty, you there, sir?
I am, sir. I am. How are you doing today?
How are you, sir?
Better and better, trying to make the world a better place.
I was waiting for you to say that. That's your motto. Well, anyway, I want to ask you a couple questions tonight, but before we go into those questions, tell me about this big event you're doing here in Charlotte pretty soon. Tell me about that.
Well, yes, sir. We're really excited. We're having the chance to bring martial artists from around the world into Charlotte, North Carolina, and this is the Who's Who event. This is the Who's Who in the Martial Arts Hall of Honors event. And it's just so many, you know, really great things happening there. We have Cynthia Rothrock, Bill Wallace coming in. We have Joe Corley is going to be the guest speaker. Jeff Smith is going to be there. You know, Benny DeJet's going to be there. So we have a lot of our, you know, people that are really pioneers in the martial arts. Victor Moore is going to be there. So a lot of the people that have been pioneers in the martial arts that we featured on the books, you know, Stephen Hayes is scheduled to be there. So everyone that we've actually had on the cover, of course, you know, we lost, you know.
Did you confirm that Sarah and Benny are going to be there? Really? That's cool.
Yeah, I talked to them last week.
That is so cool.
Yeah, so there's going to be some good seminars.
Sarah and Benny was going to be at the Mike Stone event, but they were in Australia. So that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to be there in Charlotte. That's really cool. And you locked down Bill, too, Bill Wallace and Cynthia. Wow. That was really cool.
Cynthia's going to be there.
Magazine that Victor's on the cover. And I believe that the Sport Karate Museum is going to be out in the future. But tell me about the magazine Victor on the cover.
Well, you know, that's a very unique magazine because, number one, it's a personal interview with him at this point in his life. You know, we all go through different stages of life, but, you know, they're doing a documentary on him, and I thought it really would be great for us to recognize him and give him his due. We'll probably next year do some type of special event for him. But now we have his article, which is a really great article. I talked with him this morning. He loves the article. We're going to be together at an event coming up in Kinston, North Carolina. So he's going to be doing, giving him some magazines for him to sign. But the magazine is more than just his article. It is a summary of our event in Las Vegas with Cynthia Rothrock. We have a review of the event, what did we do, and you know, we want people, we're going to give them the magazine away now so people can sort of see what is that we really do. You know, our event was great, some great articles in there. The book, the magazine is still at number one position in about six or seven different categories. So, you know, we're really excited about it, and, you know, we really look forward to partnering with you on a Sport Karate Museum magazine. So we're, you know, so I think that would really be good because you got a lot of history generals that have a lot of information, a lot of schools, Texas and all over, that are part of the museum that would be good for. But no, that article is great. Pick up a copy. You can get it on Amazon. You can get the magazine. You can actually get the Kindle. And it's now coming out in the digital flipping page, too.
Now, we no longer do our Sport Karate Museum rings, but we have a store and we have our book that you published a couple of years ago. Tell people how they can go there, please.
Yeah, you can go to the AMAA website. It's the Who's Who in the Martial Arts.com, and you click on the store button, and everything is set up by categories. And you go to the category that says Sport Karate. So anything that we have that's in, which is books, you can order sweatshirts from there. So, yeah, go check it out. It's a lot of really good things in there. Sport Karate
items.
Pads,
clocks, hats.
Right.
I mean, it's really fun what you've done. Now, one last thing, Hunty. You know, I want to say congratulations to you again, being inducted into the London Black Belt Hall of Fame last year. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you put in the same year that Gina and Chuck was put in. And this year,
right.
The reason why I mentioned Benny was because this year the Sport Karate Museum is nominating Sarah and Benny as a couple, like we did Gina and Chuck last year. But congratulations,
okay.
Roger Bowen. Congratulations,
well, I
sir.
Appreciate it, sir. It means a lot, you know. It really means a lot that, you know, I'm trying to just be authentic and you know, do things that will help the martial arts and the martial artists to become better. You know, we're here for a certain period of time. I'm just trying to be a maximizer.
Well, you are a professional maximizer. That's
yeah, congratulations,
that,
Hachi.
Actually, I got some Alder Castles many years
Thank
ago.
Thank you, AJ. Appreciate
and Robin has taken that. Robin, my daughter, has taken those two words to an extreme
mm-hmm.
level. So
she has. She's done a great job.
A professional maximizer. So take care, sir. God bless you. And thank you for all you do. And how do people get in touch with you? If they want to get in touch with you for a seminar or the event, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, they can just, you know, go to the Who's Who website, Who's Who in the Martial Arts.com if they want to, you know, become a member. You know, we're looking for people that's put in the time for the presidential award. We're working to help individuals set up programs in their schools for the presidential award. They can just go to my Who's Who in the Martial Arts website. If they want something for publishing, they go to Elite Publications. That's elitepublications.org. Either one of those places, you can reach me. Or, like I said, you can just, you know, pretty Google me, and you can find me pretty easy.
Cool. So if they want a specialized seminar with Jesse, Hunty Jesse Bowen, they can just
mm-hmm.
get in contact with you by that. Cool. Well, listen,
right,
sir, you
right.
take care. Keep your hands up, and I'll talk to you next Tuesday, sir. God bless you.
All right. Be blessed.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is my producer of Parts Unknown, Hunty Jesse Bowen, the president of the AMAA Radio Network and Elite Publications. Now I get to introduce two of the gentlemen that, well, they watch my sex, and most of you know what that means. That means they watch my back on the air. And the first man...
Above the waist, by the way.
Above the waist. But that was the other one. I'm going to introduce the other one now. The first one that was been there from, I guess he's been with me ever since the beginning of the show, but he became the co-host. And he actually took over the show when I had the stroke. I'm talking about Master Dean Piles. Fort Walton, Florida. Now, he hadn't called in. He called me earlier, so he's
working.
Oh, there you are. Good. Mm-hmm. Hey, Dean, how you doing?
Yeah. Doing good, sir.
Let me introduce you publicly. This man has won over 40, I'm not making this up, ladies and gentlemen, over 40 world championships in point sparring karate. But that's just a small part, because you know point karate or sport karate is only like 1% of Bushido. And this man is a true man of Bushido. He teaches every day. He also teaches our Marines every day. He also runs a full school in Fort Walton, Florida, production company called Eight Angry Spartans. He has supported the Sport Karate Museum from day one. And he also is a 9-3 black belt underneath the Sport Karate Museum. He trained with the great Joe Lewis. And this year, he's receiving his 10th degree black belt with one of our co-hosts, Colonel Phil Torres, at the Legends. And I'm proud to introduce him, Dean Piles, better known as the Wolverine. Hey, Wolverine, what are you doing, buddy?
Doing good, sir. I actually was just cleaning some of my weapons, getting ready for training tomorrow.
Okay. Well, yep. Don't go anywhere because I got to introduce the other sidekick, that guy.
All right. Thank you for the introduction, sir.
Well, don't go anywhere. Stay close.
I'm not.
Now,
hey, Dean. How you doing?
Watches my back.
Hey, bud. How are you?
He's from
good.
Cleveland, Ohio. And like he said earlier, it's above the waist that he watches me. But he is an amazing man, an expert performer. And you guys know me. I don't use the word master or grandmaster very often, but I'm proud to say the word master in front of his name because he is. He's a master of Taekwondo Karate, which is a Korean form of martial arts. He's the only martial artist to be inducted into the Cleveland Sports Hall of Fame. That's a big deal. Now, rumor has it he'll be one of the guest speakers speaking at the Legends this year, and, you know, I'm proud to introduce this man. He's such a great, he's a great asset to the museum. He is also the spokesman for the military group we have here at the museum. I want to introduce Master A.J. Perry. A.J., you there?
Thank you. What a nice introduction. I appreciate that. How are you?
The check's in the mail, right? The check's in the mail. So, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Very good. Taught a nunchuck clinic tonight, and then just got home a few minutes ago and doing well. Thank you.
Cool. Well, you and Dean, hang on to your seatbelts. We got a heck of a show tonight. Got an old friend that I've known since the early 80s. He used to come into school and just beat the crap out of everybody, that incredible Texas sidekick. Just one of the I think he won a world championship. We'll talk about it in point fighting. I want to bring on my friend, black belt, Texas black belt, Bob Cruz from Super Character Productions. He'll be at the Legends this year with all the Super Character Productions that he does. Bob, you there?
Yes, sir. Good about that. How you doing, sir?
Hey, Bob Cruz. Now I want to ask you right off the bat, is it spelled C-R-U-I-S-E or
C-R-U-I-S-E.
See, I was right. I was right. That's cool. That's cool.
Like Tom Cruise.
Bob, you did you start with George Minshew? Was that your first instructor?
Started with Chris Klecka.
Chris Klecka, the brown belt from Mary Rich's school. Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah.
He was a hell of a kicker,
Oh, okay. He was good with every technique.
Go with me. Listen, Chris used to go with me with Jeff McRae and Skipper Mullins, little brother Don Boone Mullins, and Kevin Scott, and we would terrorize black belt karate classes.
I used to hear about that.
Chris, yeah, I know you heard it. Chris Crocker was an animal. Now, did you make black belt at Larry Ritchie's or under Minshew? Who'd you make Bob under?
I actually made it under a group of stuntmen that told me if I was going to work with them, they were going to promote me to stuntman. I better put black belt on my paperwork because we were doing movies at that time. It was with Jackson Burns. It was with Mark Shabria. And Steve Cruz.
I remember Jack Burns.
My brother.
He worked with me at the Astroworld shows.
Yeah, Jack he Burns told me years later.
I remember Jack Burns, yeah. Cool. Now, what year did you win that world championship with the USK?
I won it in 2022 in New Orleans about a year and a half ago, and it was my third trip to New Orleans.
And you won that in the senior division?
I won it in the 50-year-olds division. I have a second executive.
That's
I went
the
in.
Senior, wake up, Bob. That's the senior division.
Yeah. But I was in top
I'm
producing shutouts.
Character special guests every year. You bring in Spider-Man, Batman, Robin, and the rumor has it this year, Kato and the Green Hornet is going to be there. Now, tell me how you got involved with the character production idea.
Well, I've been doing superheroes for years. I even started doing Spider-Man. I was like a one-character show back in the 70s. I didn't do too much in high school. I was trying to keep it hidden and quiet. But in the late 80s, the Batman movie came out, and I got access to one of the Michael Keaton costumes, and everybody thought I was a young Michael Keaton, and I performed real well. I got the show with the Batmobile on his first tour here to Houston, and with all the Playboy Play Bunnies at the same time. And
you remember we did the show at the Dallas Convention Center for BET, the big show?
Yeah, it was 92.
There, yeah.
Yeah, they had George Bush come in the next day.
What's his name? Remember the heart surgeon? What was his name? Red Butler? What was his name? Dr. Red Duke. That's who it was.
Red
Duke
was there.
Laid down.
And so was
and let me cut cucumbers. Dr. Red Duke, the heart surgeon of Houston. Let me cut cucumbers on his body. I never forget that. It was cool. And were there at the Dallas Convention Center. That was a huge show. Huge show.
Oh, wow.
Now,
I remember.
You're going to be at the Legends this year with a booth that you're going to be having your super character production company that you do. Now, what are some of the characters that you think will be there?
Well, the characters are going to be this year. I'm bringing the Green Hornet, and we're going to see if we can get a Kato to come out, a show-stealing Kato. We need a show-stealing great Asian guy that really wants to go in the same way Bruce Lee did.
Listen, Bob, it's like an open cast call right now. They can reach out to me, 713-483-0476, or they can reach out to you. What's your number? What's your phone number?
Let me see. I don't have it down. I have to look at it. I don't have it on me right now. I have to actually look at it on the phone and make sure I know it.
Well,
I'll get it back before the end of the show.
Email. They can contact you if they're a Kato wannabe or, Listen, Bob. You've been around me long enough to know you always have a pencil to write down what you forget. And you better have a business card on you. To let people know what, when, where, and how Bob Cruz exists.
I'll have it this time.
You can never advertise too much. Yeah. Now, what do you do now? You drive limousines now, right?
Yes, sir. I drive limos for two different companies with Stark Livery and Action Limousine, which we've been showcasing.
Well, Action Limo is our sponsor, and that's a big kudos to you. Because last year, because of you, we got involved with Action Limo. So people that want to drive or come with a limo to the Legends, they can call Action Limo. That's pretty cool. Now, how long have you been a chauffeur?
Probably since 2001. I've been doing it 23 years. I didn't know I'd be doing it this long, but it seems to be something I'm good at. I know the entire city. I've gotten very good at driving SUV Hummers and stuff, stretch Hummers and stuff. I'm real good at doing it. I'm only good at it because I'm experienced.
So you don't drive a limousine, you drive a Hummer?
Oh, I drove one this past weekend to the rodeo, and they all like it. And
Oh, yeah.
Not too many people can buy those cars.
Busy, aren't you? I bet you're busy.
Oh, yeah.
Doing the radio.
Except I took off tonight for you, and they were calling me in.
Well,
I thought, man, I'm on the radio with Gary tonight.
Lucky Hawaii boy again. Lucky Hawaii boy again. Let's talk about a sidekick. Because I've been telling people you got a hell of a sidekick. Who taught you your sidekick? Because you do. I remember you dropped people back at the Black Academy I was at. Who taught you that sidekick?
Well, I improved on it over the years. Chris Klecka taught me, and then Larry Ritchie was showing me other ways of launching it. And then I was reading other ways about keeping your balancing stationary leg straight with your kicking leg at the point of impact, like wham, as you're blasting into the heavy bag. Now George Sorrell was real good, Lightning Sorrell. When I was doing full contact karate with him back in 83, he would pick it up right next to the heavy bag and just drill it. And I thought, since it was so hard to make the sidekick really good at that point, I started incorporating that as my main training gig and getting in the water as well, too, and throwing about a couple hundred of them with water up to your chest. You know, that's a good way to build fast flexibility.
Well, let me ask you a question and go down memory lane. Back in the early 80s, I used to come to the Blah Blah Academy where I lived in. I lived there 24/7. Come in. What was it like back then? Tell my listeners what it was like getting in those type of Blah Blah classes at Blah Blah Academy with Gary Lee. What was it like?
Well, sure. Back then, we'd wipe a lot of mop a lot of blood off the floor, not too much.
Don't say that. Don't say blood. Don't say that.
But it was very adventuresome. You know, those days as a teenager and getting older, those were some of the most adventuresome days. There was a rush of adrenaline getting in there because we were toughening up our metal and making ourselves really strong. I was pretty much breaking out of the eggshell, becoming an eagle at that time, trying to break it all out.
Yeah, but
I remember one time.
But Bob, you would be right in with, you know, gotta be Louie and me and Ace Ashcraft and the Neil brothers. And I mean, you, James Vernon, Ernie Radar Smith, Linda Denley, who had Lightning Sorrell, whoever would show up at my fight classes. You really,
well, I remember one time.
You were a good fighter, Bob. You were a good fighter.
Oh, thank you. Still am. I can defend myself pretty good.
So listen, don't go nowhere. Uh-huh. We're going to do a couple segments, and then I'm going to bring you back. And we're going to play the Legends name game. This is where I'll say a name, and you get to talk about them for a couple minutes, and that's how I'll close the show out. So don't go anywhere, okay, Bob?
One thing I do remember about your school, I saw John Jackson in there one time, and Skipper Mullins were trying with all that at one time.
Yeah, I used to have quite a few animals walk through. Okay,
it was fun doing that,
Bob. I'll bring you right back, okay?
Yes, sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking to Texas fighter Bob Cruz, who will be at the Legends Show this year with the Super Heroes Collectors. Well, it's amazing, man. He brings Batman and Robin, and this year, I understand the Green Hornet's going to appear. Now, we're looking for our Kato. So if you have acting ability and you want to try out for the Kato part to work with the great Bob Cruz and be part of that team, give me a call, 713-483-0476. Now, I've got something pretty cool. Back in the day when we created this show, I had a vision to put together a group of men and women across the nation to talk about topics. Well, what we've done with Parts Unknown, we've curated the five incredible people that talk about various topics, and I get to introduce them. Now, tonight, one of our ladies is off, and we want to say we miss her. Her name is Bordis Radilat, a great Texas champion. But I do have the other lady of the group, a lady that's amazing to me. She's been with me for a long time. She's an A3 black belt underneath the Sport Karate Museum. Studied Okinawa Shoryu Karate Do, and now is an exclusive Kung Fu teacher and student. Now she's gonna be at the Legends this year, and I've got her busy. She's doing an incredible seminar Friday at 4 o'clock. She's got her own booth, and with Mortis and Colonel Torres and Adam James, Dr. Terry, Dean Powell, and AJ Perry, they're gonna have their own AMAA celebrity radio booth. So you can meet her, get her autograph, even get her a picture. She's got pictures of herself. So I want to bring her on right now from North Carolina by way of New Jersey. And we'll talk about that. My friend, Karen Slatcher. Karen, you there?
Yes. Greetings from North Carolina.
Hi, Karen.
I know you're from New Jersey.
Hi.
By the way of North Carolina. I said it backwards.
I'm a Tar Heel now.
Yeah, you're a Tar Heel. Well, Karen, the question tonight on the topic is, how hard should it be allowed to get by in a blackball point match? When is it too hard? Obviously, when there's blood drawn, but that's a controversy subject because people walk into a punch or a kick. But anyway, I got the question actually from your repertoire, but I want you to answer it. How do you feel about it?
Well, if I'm the one that's punching, I want it to be hard. I want a good level of badassery involved when I fight. You have to have style. You can't go in there with an attitude, and you can get away with hitting a lot harder if your attitude is good about the whole fight. But I have also fought many people who were trained to go in and get one warning or one foul, one contact call, and by hurting you, like going in and deliberately hitting you in the eye, causing you to have problems seeing or something, to scare you, to make you afraid that they're going to hit you again. It was all about control and overpowering, and that used to bother me. You know, go in there, because you could usually get two calls for contact, so they would go in and immediately get one and nearly kill you, and then fight the rest of the fight, hoping not to get called again. But that to me was just rotten. You know, don't do that. This is tournament. It's not the street. So I think that if you know how to punch and can punch well, a good, you're supposed to hit hard, but not to drill them through the floor or not to cause injury. That was what used to get me so angry.
Well, you know, I think it follows another set, and we're going to talk about this in a week or two, about safety equipment. You know, safety equipment, Casey and Destry, of course, and with Shehan and Junri and Macho and Protech and Chris and whatever the different companies that created the safety equipment, I believe that it was like a pressure type thing to a lot of producers to say, look, we sell the safety equipment, you know, and headgear or whatever. We want you to make money. You know, we don't want the contact. And the only way to save the contact is to buy our safety equipment. I mean, that's, you know, subject too. But still, point karate should be done by the rules in the sense that if there's no contact, then do the rules. And some fighters are more aggressive than others, but that's understandable because it's a contact sport, but it doesn't say full contact in front of it. It's
right.
Light sparring or, you know, point sparring. And, you know, people sometimes don't understand the difference. There's a really fine line, too, you know. So thank you, Karen, so much for what you are and what you are to the museum.
Well, thank you.
No, thank you. And keep coming up with those incredible questions, okay?
Okay. All righty.
All right, honey. Be sweet, and we'll talk to you next week. God bless you. Now, like I said, the other lady of the group, Mortis, she's off tonight, but I've got someone I love to introduce. And, you know, I'm so proud he's a part of the show. I really am. He's an American hero. He's a Marine. Hurrah! He is one of these guys that, well, I'll be honest with you, I introduce a lot of people in my business. I really get, I mean, I got him right now in my arm. I get goosebumps when I introduce him. He is a Asika champion. If you remember the Southeastern Karate Association that was ran by Sam Chapman, Jerry Peterson, Joe Corley, I mean, Larry Reinhart. It was an incredible group of men to put that together, Bill McDonald. And he was a state champion for them. He trained in Okinawa. He's a silver medal recipient from our military. He is part of the military group of the Sport Karate Museum Advisories. He is also receiving his 10th-degree black belt this year from the Udashi Society, and along with my co-host, Dean Piles. He's an amazing, amazing man, amazing gentleman. And I get to introduce him every week. And I really got goosebumps. Colonel Phil Flores. Colonel, you there, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. Thank you for that wonderful introduction. I am honored and at the same time humbled. And your check's in the mail.
Thank you.
Colonel, just wanted to say salute. This is Wolverine. Just wanted to say salute. And,
yes, sir, my brothers, AJ and Dean.
Well,
I salute you back.
You and Dean are receiving your 10th black belt from the Udashi Society, the elite black belt society within the museum. And you're actually the first recipient, along with our dear representative, Rick Mills. So congratulations to you and Dean Piles. Now,
well, thank you, sir.
You are an avid champion. You've been there. You've been through the mill. So I'm going to ask you like the same question I asked Karen. When is it too much contact in point karate? And should you, well, anyway, how do you feel about that, sir? Because, you know, you were a point karate champion. How do you feel about the contact factor in point karate?
Well, sir, I do have some strong opinions about point contact, or what we call sports karate. First and foremost, point sparring is about control. That's number one in my book. And secondly, control is an essential element of learning any of the martial arts. How hard you hit, how hard you block, etc. It's part of the learning process of martial arts. Because most people who join the martial arts join either self-defense or the sport side of karate. They don't join so they can see blood and guts in a dojo or enjoy being at blood and guts events. Most parents do not enroll their kids in schools to get injured or have blood drawn during the workouts. So sports karate, the point karate is an essential element of what we do because it really shows control. It's just like being and I spent most of my life as a marathon runner, 90%+ of marathon runners are not in running the marathon to win the race. They're running the marathon to win their own personal goals, to do their best, to show... To complete the marathon. Only is a handful are there to place or win the top spots. And I feel that that's the same way that a lot of people may go into the martial arts. They're not there to necessarily be a professional or to get into a blood and guts type situation. Some people love that. Some people want to see that. I've been through periods where I've been fighting, and that's what people wanted, and that has turned me off. Because at that time, I wanted control. I didn't want to see blood and guts. So
yes, sir.
It's an essential control. It's an essential part of what we do to train. And I think it really shows to be able to hit that body hard enough so that the person knows they've been hit. The judges know they've been hit. You know you hit them, but yet you did not cause injury. Or
yes,
for the underbelts, for the underbelts not to be allowed to hit that face, and for the black belts to hit that face with a very light contact enough so that everybody sees that you have scored a good point and yet you maintain control. So I feel it's an essential part of what we do. It's all about control and doing our best.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you so much for your input. I appreciate your wisdom. And everyone around the world who listens to our show, they appreciate it too. So you take care, sir, and I'll see you next week. Okay, sir?
Yes, sir. Oh, yeah, sir.
God bless you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Colonel Bill Torres, member of the Five. Now, this next gentleman, I've worked with his organization now for going on, I guess, 3 years. And in that period, we put in Chuck and Gina Norris and Chris Minshew and George Minshew and Jim Butte. I can go on with people's names. But the thing about it is, he stands for excellence in the martial arts. Now, this year we get to honor him, do a tribute to this man. He took over this organization about 10 years ago from Marty, and he's been doing it, and it's an amazing thing. He's an author. He's written like 8 books, and he's Kali Bum. He's amazing. He has a podcast. He speaks to people around the country as the black belt leader. Now, think about that for a minute. For all the black belts around the world, he is labeled the black belt leader, and there's a reason for that. And you know what? I got him every week, and I want to introduce to him my friend, my mentor, Dr. John Terry from the United States Martial Arts Black Belt Hall of Fame. John, you there, buddy?
Hello from Lansing, Michigan tonight, sir.
Yeah, you up there in the Yankee Land, up there near AJ. You're having a good time? You're in a hotel?
I'm having a good time, sir. Yes, sir.
Room service. Well, listen, John, you were an excellent point fighter and a champion in your circuit, so I know you got an opinion on this. What is it too hard in point karate, or should there be a level of when a black belt hits another person? How do you feel about it?
You know, I agree, Professor Lee, with what I've heard from the other members of the Five tonight, that when we're talking about point sparring, it's about control. And I remember when I competed, one of the things that the leadership of the association I was in, the SWAT circuit that I competed in, they would always tell us that the idea is power under control. And when you lose control, you're demonstrating the fact that you have not had an opportunity to begin to master what it means to be a martial artist. And so we typically looked at around 75 to 80% kind of as a rule of thumb. But, you know, as you grew up in rank and had the opportunity to move up, you had an opportunity to be a little more aggressive as long as there was control. But when you got out of control, when you intentionally tried to harm someone, at that point, leadership stepped in and said, this is not acceptable, which I valued and appreciated. Because it's all about demonstrating your technique, throwing it forcefully, but at the last minute, just that last minute pull to let folks know that you made good contact to score the point. It's a definitive point, but it's not just the tap that you just walk up and you just touch somebody and you're awarded a point.
Right.
I lean the other way. That's not martial arts either. Yeah.
Yeah. You don't have the Mike Tyson attitude when you hit with bad intention, right?
Right.
And next thing you hit with bad intention, but you don't execute it. That's it. So
that's correct.
Now tell me about your event at the New Orleans, August 18th or July. Is it July or August?
It is in July. Yes, sir.
July 18th through the 20th. And you're going to have some incredible people there. And my friends, who are all part of the Sport Karate Museum, people like Jerry Smith, James Moore, Paul Antonio, Monty Walker, Rob Mancini. These guys are very active in Vegas, and they're all going to be there to support you. But tell me about what's going on with you at the New Orleans. You got a camp and all kinds of cool stuff. Dinner? Tell our people what you're doing.
Absolutely, sir. We're very excited. This is the 25th anniversary year of the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame, and we're going to be at the Orleans Hotel in Las Vegas. Starts on July the 18th with a 2.5-day camp, 15 master-level instructors, each teaching a different martial arts discipline. Everybody has a chance to come and be a white belt for 3 days. You get to experience the global diversity of the martial arts. Grandmaster Freddie Jin, a second-generation Jeet Kune Do student of Bruce Lee, is going to be there. Chris Casamassa, the Scorpion from the original Mortal Kombat movie, is going to be there. That's two many of the individuals that we've got coming for that event. And then, of course, we've got our black belt, black tie dinner on Saturday night where we get an opportunity to honor the inductees that we're going to be bringing into the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame and honoring martial arts instructors, black belt competitors, and we got some special awards for some military and law enforcement and first responders we're doing this year as well.
Well, you know, you mentioned Chris. He was my actual co-host, Bob Wall's induction we did for his roast back in the early 2000s. His dad, Lewis, was a police officer, and he created the Red Dragon. And it's really cool. I think Muhammad Yabish, how do you pronounce his last name? The guy that does the compete, the big NASCAR event, that's a Red Dragon event. So having Kristen, that's going to be a big draw for you. Now, tell me about the camp. Tell me about the camp.
So the camp is exciting in the fact that everybody has an opportunity. We've got a number of instructors coming in. We're going to be teaching Koshu Ken. We've got individuals coming in to teach an eclectic weapons art called Krabby Krabong, which you don't see a lot of taught in the United States. We're going to be doing the Japanese bow. We've got individuals coming in. Paul Parrott coming in from the traditional Kempo traditions is going to be teaching Kempo. So, again, it's an opportunity for 3 days for everybody to immerse themselves in a broad cross-section of the martial arts where everybody has an opportunity to learn and share, and together we celebrate this incredible diversity of the martial arts that we see taught around the globe.
Oh, cool. And I'm going to make sure that your lovely daughter, Jessie, will announce that we're going to do a special tribute to you October the 4th and 5th in Houston. How do you feel about that, John Kerry?
You know, I am extremely honored as you've gone through and talked about all these incredible people that you've had the opportunity to recognize in the past. Just having my name associated with those is a great honor, sir. And I do what I do for the love of the martial arts, and I appreciate the fact that you guys are recognizing that and giving an opportunity to say thank you for what we've done through the United States Martial Arts Hall of Fame to recognize some incredible individuals over the last 25 years.
Well, it reminds me of something that my buddy Gene LaBelle told me when I moved to Texas, and I roasted him. He said, Gary, hang on to your seatbelt. Be ready. You're going to be able to honor some incredible people in the future. Now, that was almost 20 years ago, and it's true. You're an incredible person, and I get to say thank you to you along with some of your friends. So God bless you, John Kerry. You take care, okay?
Thank you, my friend. God bless you as well.
You bet. Now, is Adam James get on the air yet? Okay. Well, Adam needs to call him a little bit later, but I got someone I've been associated with for almost 7 years. His group have literally adopted the Fort Crown Museum with their invention. They created a hologram, the Oculus Quest 3, the Rift, and other platforms of a headset that will kick your butt. And they've done something really cool. They've added the History Journal portals to be able to learn about all the profiles of all the history journals. Now, we started with a core group, Mike Dillard, Roy Kerbin, George Minshew, Chris Minshew, and we'll be adding Mike Stone and all the history journals. And you can go to the webpage, www.sportcollapsingmuseumarchives. And it's in the index. You see all the history generals that will be listed in this castle, this future of this platform. And I will bring them right now. An ATV black belt from the Sport Karate Museum trains in Kung Fu. He's a real doctor, ladies and gentlemen. Saves lives. Dr. Reginald Lee. Reggie, you there?
Yes, I am, sir. Good evening. How's everyone today?
Good evening, Dr. Lee. How are you?
Great. Fantastic. I just want to mention that you forgot to mention that you, Professor Gary Lee, has been introduced, and we're so proud to have you on board as the Wisdom Warrior, as a Samurai Ninja in program. I know you always talk about being on a picture on a bubblegum card, but we're super excited that you are now in virtual reality with us, as an educator in the program in regards to introducing the core history journals in our history portal with virtual reality. In a program whereby
tell people who don't know about virtual reality, or just explain to us what VR is, the self-defense enhanced training in virtual reality.
Exactly.
Excel, unleash.
Yes. We see SetVR as a tool to help you enhance your skills in self-defense, just as you would with a punching bag, kicking bag, or a Wing Chun dummy. Imagine wanting to continue to practice your skills in self-defense, practice anytime, anywhere, when you want to be totally immersed in a cutting-edge program moving 360 degrees against an attacker that will kick your butt, that has been designed to attack you suddenly, random, unpredictable, when you least expect it, during an adrenaline surge. So you can practice to maintain, improve, and develop your skills in muscle memory, and my goal of developing a reflex response to neutralize without hesitation. Just as mentioned before, Professor Garley, as a metaphor, to move reflexively, just like placing your hand on a hot stove or threw a ball at your eye and you blink without thinking about it, you just move reflexively, or imagine wanting to continue to practice in a program to improve your skills in evasion, moving angular, linear, circular, to help you to maximize the probability of neutralizing your attacker without hesitation to move reflexively. How cool is that? With the use of Oculus Quest or Oculus Rift headset, be transported to a virtual reality platform whereby attacker will attack you when you least expect it with sudden and random and unpredictable attacks. The goal is to have you be able to move angular, linear, circular, place in a position of advantage for neutralization, or actually move and put yourself away from danger and develop that reflex attack to place you in a position to neutralize without hesitation. It's a program whereby you can continue to practice what you've been taught in your schools and colleges and forums in a program application against a random and sudden attack to practice anytime, anywhere, when you want. We've implemented a program of a mindfulness of stretching meditation exercises, and we'll also present you with your own yoga instructor. So come visit with us at our website, www.setvrxl.com, or you can visit Professor Garley's website and click on the button to get to our program whereby you see an actual demonstration of the hologram attacker attacking randomly, suddenly, unpredictably, so you can develop that reflex response to neutralize without hesitation. Again, Professor Garley, we're super excited that you're on board with us as a Samurai Ninja, as a Wisdom Warrior, at the Gate of the History Portal. Thank you for having us on your show, and we appreciate it so much, sir.
Well, you know what's really exciting? We get to tease people in this production that we're doing, and we're coming very close to introducing something that's going to be really interesting, like one-on-one challenge with people. Where in the past, with multiplayer, you always had to challenge the game or the bot or the chip or whatever ran the game. With SetVR in the future, you're going to be able to make open challenges. There's going to be a dojo. There's going to be a wooden dummy. There's going to be a kicking bag. There's going to be a weapons wall that you'll be able to actually pick up the weapon and be able to fight the hologram with. There'll be flags representing Okinawa, Chinese martial arts, Japanese martial arts, Korean martial arts, and American martial arts. There'll be the sword wall with the Chinese swords and the katana. We're going to be educating, and that's what it's all about. Elders, respect, education and set me ours around allowing the sport crowd music to be that. So thank you, Reggie. Thank you for so much what you do for the museum, and God bless you, buddy. And I'll see you next week, okay, sir?
Thank you, sir. Have a good evening.
You're welcome. Now I want to bring back my two co-hosts. I want to bring back Dean Piles and AJ.
Hello,
you guys there?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Wolverine,
we're here.
I'm going to ask you first, Wolverine. When is it too much contact in point karate? And people don't understand the difference of full contact and point karate. But anyway, how you feel about it?
When is it too much? Well, I mean, you know, you got to, just like always, you got to go by the rules, you know. And like it's been said before, most people that's competing should be able to pull their punch if they need to, you know, and demonstrate control. Now, you have a lot of people that go out to these tournaments, like Ms. Slasher was saying, and they try to hit people hard, and that's when you, you know, reserve turning that hip over and giving them a little extra juice at the end of that punch just to, you know, put them in their place and teach them a lesson. Or, you know, you have these people that like to hit late after you've scored and judges may have said break and you're returned to the line and then they're still trying to hit you. But, you know, that's why they have full contact divisions in the kickboxing and MMA. So you can go do that. If that's where you want to hit hard, then those are the divisions you need to go in. Point fighting, if you're doing a point fighting competition, you should keep your technique clean. You should keep your technique controlled, and you're not there to clobber somebody. I feel like that if you're going to a point fighting competition and fighting someone else that is going by the rules controlling that contact, and they're just going for a kill shot, then you're basically competing against somebody that's too scared to fight in a full contact event. So they go to a point fight event where the other person is not trying to clobber them, but they secretly try to clobber the other, you know. And if you're a good fighter and you run into somebody like that and you just turn the tables on them and blast them, and then generally they calm right down after they get hit hard, you know. So
I got to ask you, Wolverine, are you going to have that accent for the rest of your life? Are you ever going to be
quiet? I'm a Southern Cherokee from the Blue Ridge Mountains. So yeah, this is it.
AJ,
yeah.
Are you on the line? AJ,
I'm here. How are you, Gary?
How do you feel about it? How do you feel about the contact?
Like what Dean said, you know, there's people that try to come out and blast you, and you know, try to prove a point. But I'll be honest with you, I've never seen a competitor. Okay, and I competed in a lot of tournaments. I've never seen a competitor that would try to come out and blast you that was a good technician. People that were good technicians, you know, they could control their kick. They could put their foot right in your eyeball and blink your eyelash, okay? And you would know it was there, okay? And
right.
The point's there.
I love
but
that.
But people that would try to come out and blast you didn't have
two
good technique.
Said that.
So anytime I ran across that, personally, I let people set the pace. Okay, you want to play that way, you know? Let's play.
AJ, and, I think of two words, because what you just said.
I'm sorry?
Counter defensive. And
can't
you
hear
have
Gary.
A good instructor that can teach you to be defensive.
A lot of noise. No, there's a lot of background
noise,
Gary.
I don't have background noise. Do you?
Yeah, there's a lot of background noise. Can't hear you.
Can my crew hear me? Is there background noise?
Can you hear me now?
Well, I think it's that.
Yeah,
that,
we can hear you
Yankee
now.
Lands. Yeah, I think you're up there in Cleveland, and you got a lot of interference up there. Well, thank you, AJ. Thank you for your input. Now, I want to bring back Bob Cruz, my buddy from Watford Academy days. Bobby there?
Many decades.
Okay, I'm going to hit you with a name, and you got 2 minutes to talk about him. You ready for the first one?
Yes, sir. Shoot.
George Minshew.
An incredible taskmaster. Really pushes you in full contact karate. If anyone ever does full contact karate with George, he's a very good taskmaster. Ever since I trained with him in 1983 in full contact karate, I have held strong to those core values of that type of training. I still do that type of training today, you know.
Cool. Larry Rich,
one of Pat Burleson's star students. Real tough guy, quarreled with many times, but over the last few years, I've really appreciated him very much for everything I went through. The good time, it was always a great time, but Larry, with the good, the bad, and the ugly all mixed together, but I actually miss him. I actually miss him jumping my case. He was a lot of fun back in the day.
I miss him too. I like J. Pat Burleson.
He was incredible. I saw him in Black Belt Jones and Jim Kelly in the car wash scene. He did really good that. He looked like a mean, tough dude, and I heard a lot of stories about him.
Listen, Bob, do you realize how many bars the Burleson cleared out in the 60s? I mean, too many to name. I mean, I heard stories from Ed Daniels, Jim Harrison, Jack Wong, all kinds of people about Mr. Burleson would clear out bars, literally.
Well, Larry Richards used to talk about all the motorcycle guys used to punch out, too.
Yeah. Back okay, I got a couple more for you real quick. How about Chuck Norris?
Chuck Norris, good guys were black. He fought Bruce Lee to the death at, in Way of the Dragon. Incredible taskmaster. What I liked about him was his positive mental attitude. Visualization technique, and he was good from the left side and right side, like he was mirroring both sides of his techniques, whether it's kicks or punches. It's a very good approach, too. Very good. He stayed very steady on filmmaking, too. It became a real success.
Well, Bob, we really appreciate you and your input and being on the show tonight and being a benefactor, associate producer of The Legends, and having your super
love it.
Character productions, and it's going to be really cool having you there. And I want to say thank you for being on the show tonight and sharing your experience.
Thanks for having me.
You bet, buddy, and I'll see you.
It's going to be a great October coming up.
Yeah, you bet. I'll see you real soon. Ladies and gentlemen,
thank you, sir.
That has been Mr. Bob Cruz, and we've had an incredible show tonight with the incredible five that we put together, Voices, and then, of course, Auntie Jesse Bowen, and, of course, my incredible co-hosts, A.J. Perry and Dean Piles, and Seth VR. And we're on every week on Parts Unknown talking sport karate. We thank you, and we mean this from the heart every week. Much mahalo and aloha. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night. Good night, everyone.
Good night, ma'am.
Sweet dreams.
Good night, you all.
Thank you, sir. Colonel.
Thank you, sir.
Great show.